Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Big Interview Bite Size. I'm Graham Hunter, and in each episode, you'll hear an elite footballer tell a story that's guaranteed to brighten your day. All of them come from my podcast, The Big Interview with Graham Hunter, which you can find by searching on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're with Gary Neville, who reflects on how the talents of Leo Messi left him literally lost for words during that iconic performance against Manchester City in the Camp Nou back in March 2015.
The amount of players I get heard called geniuses. He's magic, he's a genius.
Yeah.
He's a magician. No, he's not. There's nowhere to go from there. There's nowhere to go from genius. There's nowhere to go from magician. There's nowhere to go from... You know, these words leave you no room for. So I watch Messi play against Manchester City in the New Camp, and I was genuinely, for the first time I think in my football career, I can think of maybe Ronaldo a couple of times at United where I was watching injured in 2007-08 where I was probably similarly mesmerised, but I was genuinely, as a broadcaster, the only time I've ever watched a performance where I've been genuinely mesmerised by a player was Messi for the 20 minutes before half time in the Nou Camp against Manchester City. I was like, and I've seen him before, and I've seen him on the television, and you know, I've seen him live many times as you have, but I was genuinely thinking, this is as good as it's ever going to be. Yeah. This, I'm happy to use, I call it a scandalous, it's scandalous talent. It's out of this world, and people on social media will tell you, well, oh, you're bullying him up to it. You cannot go, that's the point where I just thought, I have to go for it. It's the only time. But once you've used that for him, everything else is below that. Everything else, every word, you know, you can't again go and call, you know, with respect, watching a player at Burnley Tottenham last week, you can't go and call him scandalous talent or a genius, because you've called Messi that. So I always like to think where I pitch things is relative generally through. And that's difficult. It is difficult to get that right, I think. I actually think, and probably most people would disagree with me, I think the best Barcelona team I saw was the first year of Pep, where they had Eto, Omri, Messi wide, Iniesta, Busquets, Xavi. They had Puyol. Yaya Toure played centre-back in the final with Gerard Piqué. But the physical aspect of that team with Eto, with Omri, was incredible. Puyol.
Keita.
Keita. I thought that they had such a physical presence. You couldn't fight them. You couldn't outdo them on set pieces. You couldn't. They would do you in every single way. They keep the ball. They're still a possession team, but they had other aspects. They had counter-attack.
Could you call it a blend of what you like and what Pep gives it?
So I like the more rounded team that is, if you like, I think the Bayern Munich team of Heynckes and the Barcelona team of Pep the first year, for me, were rounded football teams. Whereas I think the Barcelona team that then evolved through Pep, where they would beat United in the final the year after, or 2 years after at Wembley, that was almost like football that I don't think probably can be recreated. And I think actually relies probably upon Messi to be successful. I might be wrong there.
No, I understand.
I think if you have 70% possession in the way in which they kept the ball, but then took Messi out, but I think that first team with Eto, Henri.
So many more solutions, so many more goals.
Yeah, I think you could put Pedro on the right and they might still have won the Champions League. They might not, but they might still have won it. The second team, you take Messi out, I think it goes. And that's where I think the rounded team, so that's the bit that, you know, you sort of a four-year period, and it feels like I'm being critical of probably the greatest football team you could ever wish to see, but in terms of my principles of what I've liked, the Dortmund, the Bayern Munich, or the first Barcelona team, had, I think United, I might be wrong here. I think the possession in the Rome final was 50-50.
This is where the brutal thing for me is that I'm going to let you go before you say you've got to go. But you've all my synapses are leaping now because the possession was balanced in Rome, and I've never seen. And I grew up in Aberdeen, and therefore, you know, I met Alec quite young and watched his teams, and they inspired me and they changed my thinking. And one of the things they give you is competitiveness, aggressiveness. There are no boundaries. There are no limits. And he said that the goal, the Eto'o goal, which was, I think, in 9 or 10 minutes, killed us.
Yeah.
I've never heard that from Alex Ferguson. Now, given that the game possession was relatively balanced and that Barcelona didn't create a mountain of chances until that ball from Xavi to Messi for the goal, that was one of the most confusing games and aftermaths I've ever seen. And clearly, Barcelona kept the ball. Maybe United didn't look as sharp. Maybe the midfield was easier for Barcelona with the space that they had, whatever. It's still, to me, it's a confusing game, a confusing analysis. Yeah. It's why United weren't more competitive or couldn't win the ball in dangerous situations, press and take it and break against a team where Iniesta was hobbling.
Yeah, that's the amazing thing. I think Omri and Iniesta both were doubts for the final. We weren't expecting Iniesta to play. But I think that game, that was a team that I feel didn't have to be probably at its best to win 2-0, that Barcelona team. It had a real physicality to it. They were tough. You felt they were tough enough to mix it with United.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying for any way, shape or form that the Barcelona teams in the 2 years after that were soft, because they weren't soft. Because, I mean, the courage to play and the way in which they defended. I mean,
but they did get pushed around by Henkes in that time when the breaks that you're talking about when it's
7-0. And I don't think that team first time. And I always think there's something about even the Bayern team. I think it'll be very difficult. I think Bayern Munich could easily win the Champions League under Pep. They could easily do it. But it'd be very difficult for them to recreate the power, quality, possession, counter-attacking, all the different aspects, good defending, that they had in that first Champions League success. I think that's as good as it gets. When you look at a team sometimes, like the 1990 team, it comes to that point whereby everything's right. The power, the possession, the goals, the defending, the counter-attack. A team just has everything. And that's the 1990 team. That's the 2009 Barca team, the 2012 Bayern team. And they're the sort of rounded teams. So it's not just... That to me is what I sort of look at. And think, I mean, I'm sure everyone's loved these teams, but that's what I say. I don't like the pure Barcelona team. Yeah. I like the one that was slightly flawed.